警告、少年たちは研究の経験がほとんどなく、コンビニの経験もありません。今日のエピソードから何かを学んでいただければ幸いですが、提示された事例は完全な話ではありません。神は少年たちがそれを説明するというひどい仕事をしたことをしているので、情報源はエピソードの説明に含まれています。
Rise, bow, and please be seated. Konnichiwa, and welcome to Boys on the Case. I am Sensei Karaoke, and I'll be leading today's session. Sitting across from me today is today's class representative.
This feels inappropriate. Is it?
No, I am. I am following a Japanese classroom greetings and salutations.
Okay.
Yes. The class rises, bows, and then sits down. And then the instructor leads the lesson.
Now, do you know this, or did you just watch half of Evangelion?
I researched it, John.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay, a first for you.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm class representative John.
Yeah. See, now you're getting into it.
I'm not into it. I'm just playing along.
Yeah, same thing.
It's like having a job.
Uh-huh.
Just because you work there doesn't mean you're hype about it.
Okay.
But you do what they ask.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, so you're doing what I ask.
No, Jeremy, I'm I'm just trying to play along.
Well, either way, it's very much appreciated, John.
I'm glad.
I love you. I love you.
I heard.
Anyways, welcome to Boys on the Case, an investigative comedy podcast where you, the listener, sent us, the boys, questions for us to answer to the best of our ability. If you got a question, send it to us at our email, boysonthecase@gmail.com, or our splash page, anchor.fm/boysonthecase. Anyways, this week we got an exciting question from longtime superfan Katie.
She is a superfan. You should see the tattoos.
Oh, she has tattoos of us? Or is it just you?
Well, it's mostly me, but, because the John fan club, I assume, is far more prolific.
Sure.
but I heard the Jeremy fan club is, getting its fourth member this week.
It's growing, so it's, yeah.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
very
that's
exciting.
25% increase.
It is. That's incredible, man. Y'all are really moving up.
Yeah.
All right. It's a little embarrassing that you lead it. I will say.
Somebody has to, John.
Yeah, and but that's the embarrassing part, is that it's you.
All right. Wait. Okay, so if Childish Gambino had an official fan club.
Uh-huh.
And then there was another Childish Gambino fan club.
Okay.
But Childish Gambino leads the former one. Would you join that one instead? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, obviously. Yeah, exactly.
But the difference is that Childish Gambino, or Donald Glover, is talented.
Oh, my God.
And so him being like, I'm starting a fan club for me, it's like a little arrogant, but sure.
I'm in.
You doing it, it's like, oh.
Oh.
Oh, honey.
No. Anyways, Katie's question, it reads, hey, boys, hopefully this won't be like my country music question. I tip my
man. That's right, man. Fuck Katie.
She says, "I tip my hat to you for subjecting yourself to 5 hours of listening to country music."
That was me.
Yeah, that was John.
I want the record to show.
I wasn't gonna do it.
Jeremy didn't. And that was me.
I wrote the song. I didn't listen to it.
I also wrote some of the song. So,
all right. She says, "My question is about anime. How has anime shaped modern animation and cartoons? And how has it shaped culture, not just Japanese culture, but also Western culture in other parts of the world?" Also, do you guys have a favorite anime? Cowboy Bebop and FMA Full Metal Alchemist have been at the top of my list for a while. Best wishes and warmest regards, Katie. So, Katie, I saw this question and I thought, oh, it's an anime question. Piece of cake, right? Yet, fuck no. This shit's complicated and we're going to need a lot of context to get to the quote-unquote answer. And
okay. If
you came to this podcast looking for answers, well, let's get started. So, you ask, how has anime shaped modern animation and cartoons, and how has it shaped culture, Eastern and Western? We're going to start on the latter part.
But not Northern and Southern.
Not Northern and Southern. Fuck them.
We will not address how it's affected I don't know.
Antarctica?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what's like north-north. I guess it's like...
Iceland?
Yeah, Iceland.
Parts of Russia.
All the guys who have like... They speak German, but they're not German.
Who are those?
Most of Northern Europe, I think.
Oh.
I'm not sure. And none of, like, most of Africa or South America,
right?
Is that what we're getting at
here? Yeah, we usually exclude them anyways.
Yeah, which is a bummer because Southern Argentina's anime culture is so rich.
Right.
But I guess we can't talk about it. We're bound by the question.
Yes. All right, so first of all, anime is basically defined as animated shows or movies that are produced in Japan. While there are many shows that people argue count as anime, like Avatar The Last Airbender or Cory in the House, we are going to strictly adhere to this definition. All right, so the first officially released anime was a roughly 5-minute chalk animation called Dakobo's New Picture Book, Failure of a Great Plan, created by manga artist Shimokawa Oten in 1917. The episode was created by drawing on a chalkboard and erasing between each frame of the still camera, much like stop motion animation.
Okay.
Following 1917, most early animes were made for pre-existing film companies. But it wasn't until 1921 when the first anime studio was formed. These are hard names. Kitayama Iga Saisakujo.
I'm sorry, could you do that again?
Kitayama Iga Saisakujo. Yes?
You're saying it very fast.
There's three words. Kitayama Iga Saisakujo.
Okay.
I'm trying my best.
We'll just go have Google Translate talk to
text
to talk this, and we'll put that in over you.
This studio and its competitor, Sumikazu, that one's way easier, didn't make it through the decade, as profiting off of animation wasn't really a thing back then. Also, the Kitayama building was destroyed in an earthquake within like 10 years of their founding.
Damn, that Japan and California,
it
happens,
I found
man.
That a lot of my questions involve earthquakes at some point.
They usually do. Earthquakes are, they're not funny, but they are like one of the only acts of God that like you can't do anything about it.
It's the goofiest of the natural disasters.
I would argue that's probably tornadoes. I mean, the idea that wind becomes a death funnel is goofy as shit. But I'm thinking of like all the natural disasters that can fuck you up. The only two I could think of where the only option is leave is earthquakes and volcanoes.
Yes.
Right? Because like hurricanes, tornadoes, storms.
Floods,
all that stuff. You can kind of brace it to an extent, right?
Yeah.
But not an earthquake. You just kind of sit there and hope.
Just wait for it.
Yeah. Well, there was that time that dude definitely triggered that lake to kill the whole town.
Oh, yeah. He blew up the lake.
He definitely blew up that lake. For sure. What episode is that we talked about that?
I forget. Lake murder. Something about lake murder.
Something about lake. Go listen to our lake murder episode. This dude totally killed his town off a lake.
Oh, man. Okay, so anyways, up till 1933, all of the anime produced were silent, occasionally including a benshi, someone who would narrate the story in person. That year...
Man, that sounds really cool.
It does, actually.
That sounds so good.
I think the benshi would actually, like, dress up, like, in a certain outfit.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like... You know how, like, old puppet shows would have, like, a narrator?
Yeah,
it'd be like that.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I fucking love that.
That year, the first, quote-unquote, talkie debuted with one titled Within the World of Power and Women.
Is it a talkie?
A talkie, which is an anime show that actually has voices in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It sounds like the first go at a radio show. What if we called it a talkie? Because they're talking? And if someone was like, no, I don't think that's it.
Yeah. So it was called Within the World of Power and Women, which is described by Right Stuff Anime as, quote, a rather salacious story about a man having an affair with his secretary after growing tired of his domineering wife. Feminism was not a big concern in the animation at the time. End quote.
What I love about time is that you always read this stuff in the past, right? About like, particularly about, I feel like what's desired in women,
right?
That's all now like highly sought after.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could probably throw a rock and hit a dude on Twitter who would want a wife that could be described as domineering, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Like I didn't know what he had.
All right, so time goes on. World War II is in full swing, but anime director Seo Mitsuyo, the Japanese Navy, thought that children of the Japan needed something to make them feel safe, patriotic. So he made the first feature-length anime, Momotaro, Sacred Sailors.
See, that's a lot better because America just went for cigarettes. Animation is a way better decision, I think.
Yes. But yeah, this was the like a propaganda film that was animated, aimed towards children. It was released in 1945, a few months before the Enola Gay dropped the little boy on Hiroshima. During the war, most Japanese men were drafted and left their jobs, so Mitsuyo filled his animation staff with waitresses who had to learn how to animate on the fly. By the time the film had premiered, most of his intended audience, small children, had already been evacuated to the countryside, so in that sense, the movie flopped.
Right.
Unfortunately, women were pushed back out of the animation industry following the end of the war as men returned to their previous jobs.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the article said that they had made the movie on time, but it had to go through censorship.
Okay.
And it stayed in censorship for a very long time. So, like, right up until, like, the bombs were dropped.
Oh, my God.
So all the kids were in the country, and nobody was in the city to watch it.
That, yeah. Oof. So. I'm not sure there's humor in that.
It sucks.
I'm gonna be honest.
It sucks.
What did it say why it was in censorship for so long?
No, I think everything went through censorship for so long because, like, it was a propaganda film, and he didn't want to make a propaganda film. He was told to.
Gotcha.
By the Navy. But anyways, fast forward to the 1950s.
Navy can't make you do it. Just go inland.
Okay.
What are they going to fucking do?
Okay.
Nice try, water boy.
Fast forward to the 1950s, and popular animation studio Toei released Tale of the White Serpent, which ended up releasing in America in 1961.
Is that a sex tape?
No, we'll get to that. a few years later, Mushi Production was founded and created Astro Boy, which is largely considered the first anime show by modern standards.
I've heard that.
Most of the production team was poached from Toei's staff after offering animators inflated salaries.
Good.
Mushi Production didn't last long, though, barely surviving the decade with their final release titled Cleopatra, Queen of Sex, released in 1970. The story follows Cleopatra in ancient Egypt, being courted by Julius Caesar, but she's later captured, and multiple anime and manga characters from the future, to include baseball players, go back in time to save her.
Okay, I'm feeling this. I'm feeling this so far.
I watched the trailer for it, and there's a link in the description for it. It looks fucking... Okay, first of all, it looks very problematic because the Egyptian, like, henchmen are all, like, gray-skinned and have, like, somewhat, like, stereotypical black features. Like, what's the word? Like caricatures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like menstrual shows.
Yeah,
shit.
Menstrual. Yeah, kind of like that a little bit. And then there's a lot of nudity. A lot of, like,
fine.
Bad, like, stuff that we'll get to later.
Okay.
But then, like... characters just start popping in. Like, there's one dude just straight up in the baseball uniform with the baseball bat just coming in, like, swinging at people.
That's fucking
awesome.
It's
funny. It's funny.
That's fucking great.
So we're going to skip ahead to the 80s because the 70s was apparently filled with a lot of pornographic anime.
Why would... Time's a circle, Jeremy. So it's fine now, but back then, that's bad?
Well, it's nothing notable. It was just, like... the people that had grown up with, like, the original mangas, and they were just now getting, like, TV adaptations, they were now old enough to watch porn. So now the creators were like, let's create more adult anime, and it just became a whole lot of pornographic, or hentai for short.
That's the market, baby! That's how it goes!
But that brings us to the creation of the legendary studio Ghibli. Whose film Akira blew up internationally and brought anime to the forefront in Western media.
Ghibli did Akira?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Sorry. Akira.
Yes. this was
Akira is my favorite anime movie.
At this time, most anime was straight to video and imported to the States, but Akira was responsible for the large uptick in theatrical releases for Japanese animation. The rise of Japanese media in America upset a particular mouse, which led to Disney co-opting the production of Princess Mononoke in the late 90s.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. So by this time, shonen, which is anime or manga aimed at adolescent or teenage boys, is in full swing with the debut of Naruto, Dragon Ball, Sailor Moon, and One Piece. This is when two heroes, Sean Akins and Jason DeMarco, pitched Toonami to Cartoon Network in 1997.
I was just about to say, Jeremy, when does the white man get to come in and save us? When do we get to be rescued by the Caucasians, Jeremy?
You know, once every 20 years, John, at most.
I feel like it happens all the time.
How? What? When can we save ourselves, John?
Apparently we can't. I'm...
Okay, so this is largely considered the stepping off point for American interest in anime, particularly among millennials, who of course were children at the time. Through Toonami's introduction of anime in the Western market, Japanese animation influenced Western animation, much like how any successful media would. Eventually, you have American shows, most notably Avatar The Last Airbender in the early to mid-2000s, which is heavily inspired by Japanese stylings and serialized storytelling. For those of you who don't already know, serialized storytelling is basically where every episode advances the plot.
Yeah. In case anyone doesn't know, last night Jeremy asked me, what do you call it when an episode has a plot that happens over multiple
episodes? I knew
episodes.
The word, I just
and
couldn't
I was like,
find
it's
it.
It's serialized. And he was like, got it. And then he was like, clack, 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 clack on his keyboard. Just a little behind the boys, you know?
Behind the boys.
Behind the boys.
I like
my
that.
My second podcast I do where I just talk about the bullshit that happens.
We break down every episode.
I break down every episode, yeah.
You can hear me eating in the background. most American animated shows at that time, and even now, are largely episodic in nature, with minimal story beats being carried over between episodes. Now, this is loosely how anime found its way into Western animation and media, but how has it affected different cultures? Well, what better way to analyze that but to talk about anime subcultures? Are you concerned, John?
No, it's good.
John, have you heard of otaku?
Yeah. Well, it's come up.
Yeah? What do you know about otaku?
Otaku, like the people group?
Yeah.
It's like it's man, these motherfuckers. it ranges, right? Because
yeah.
It just means someone who's like a fan of Japanese culture, right?
That's loosely.
It's loosely what it's supposed to be, but it ranges anywhere from that to like people getting cosmetic surgery because they've decided they're trans Japanese,
transracial, yes,
yeah, but specifically trans Japanese and shit like that. Some motherfuckers wearing like the hentai hoodies to school,
yeah,
and calling me like baka and shit, and I'm like, what the fuck,
baka?
What does that mean?
Okay, so otaku has two very different meanings between America and Japan.
Yeah, clearly.
For Americans, otaku is simply someone who is extremely into anime, manga, or Japanese culture in general. For the Japanese, an otaku is someone who doesn't leave their house because they're obsessed with something that keeps them indoors.
Okay, so they're both the same.
Yeah, so like such as TV, computers, toys, whatever.
Right.
The term otaku isn't used as much as our next vocab word of the day, weeb.
Mm-hmm.
According to dictionary.com, weeb, short for weeaboo, is, quote, a derisive term for a non-Japanese person who is obsessed with Japanese culture that they wish they were actually Japanese.
I'm sorry. I'm, you know, like, people really enjoy this stuff, but, like, I can't imagine being into something so much that I'm like, fuck, I wish my genes were different.
You know, now that I think about it,
I hate this body.
Anime has the most, like, transformation stuff in their media, like power-ups and changing of forms or whatever.
Yeah.
That might play into it.
I don't know about that, because I think a lot of media has, most stories have some transformative aspect, even though it's usually not as overt. It's usually more like transformation of like the spirit or the soul,
the character,
right?
Yeah.
It's just so wild to me that like you're like it there isn't quite a media form that gets a gorilla grip on motherfuckers quite like anime and manga does. It's wild.
This is slightly off, but like I'm now thinking about, like, you know how in like the coming decades we're gonna have like designer babies and like we'll pick like what their features are going to be, God, or whatever.
It's going to be weebs who are like, give me a Japanese baby. Oh, Christ.
That's so bad.
We can't, bro, we can't even fucking get rid of our Confederate statues. We're not going to be able to handle that one conceptually. Are you kidding? We are so far behind. God, what a reckoning that's going
to
be.
We chose to raise our baby black just so we can know what it's like to raise a black child.
Just so we can experience the black experience, you know?
Through our child.
Through our kid.
Genetically.
And then they're going to name it something like fucked up. You know what I mean? Hi, I'm Daryl. This is my wife, Denise. We want to know what it's like to raise a black child. So we've used designer genes to create our child who we're naming
Darius.
Darius. Yeah, exactly.
And then Darius goes to school around other black children. The black children are like, something's off about Darius.
Yeah. God. And then there's going to be the motherfuckers who like couldn't afford the whole thing. So they could only afford like the skin pigment.
Oh.
Jeans. So it's like all the wrong features, but like the right hue.
Oh man.
God, we're gonna fuck up this species, which I didn't think we could do further, quite frankly.
There's always hope, John.
There's always hope we can make this worse.
Anyways.
Oh God, that's so challenging.
The full term weeaboo was actually first coined in a webcomic called the Perry Bible Fellowship, which is, despite its name, not a religious
I didn't get the vibe.
Its use in the comic didn't refer to anything regarding Japanese culture, however. The term was just used to mean anything undesirable. It's literally a four-panel comic. The dude's pointing to, like, it's like a business meeting. Dude's pointing to a chart. And he's like, if we get rid of all this weeaboo here, and the next panel's like, did somebody just say weeaboo? And then, like, they take out a bat and start beating one of them.
Okay.
I don't get it, but it just means something undesirable in the comic. But weeb and otaku are often thrown around interchangeably.
Yeah,
but let's go over some of the specific things that these individuals tend to focus
yeah,
on.
Yeah, please do, Jeremy.
All right, so first up we have waifus and husbandos. These are relationships.
God, you know, I envy the listener who can fast forward. I can't. I'm present. But
these are relationships anime viewers create with fictional characters they watch, but sometimes referred to as best girl. JapanPowered.com has a list of criteria for waifu relationships.
They're usually below the American age of consent.
Okay, so number one, waifu relationships involve commitment. And then it says C note.
That sounds heavy. We'll get to that. I don't want to jump into the hate bandwagon. The subculture, the way that I've experienced it, is just so noxious and intolerable. And for some reason, also paired with other bad behaviors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like every other weeaboo I meet is also bigoted.
Yes.
That makes the rest of this feel equally unhealthy.
Now, I also, like, at some point in my life heard that the term weeaboo was a slur.
I've also heard that, but I've also heard that Karen's a slur. I don't think you can just decide that.
Yeah, people just still say it.
Yeah, you can be upset by it. But there's a lot of words that upset people
right.
that aren't slurs.
All right, then.
What's the note, Jeremy?
See, okay, I went to see the note, and apparently the number one rule was it used to read like waifu relationships involve monogamous commitment, but then people retaliated and said that you can have multiple waifus at once,
okay, so it's polyamorous.
Or you could be in a real life 3D relationship and still have a waifu.
Gotcha.
And waifu and wives are not the same.
No, there was no. No threat of misunderstanding.
Waifus are 2D. Wives are 3D.
Right.
Wives have human emotions. Waifus do not.
Right. Wives are people we can build connections with that might help us unpack and come to terms with our trauma.
Waifus
have, generate it.
Have, you know, features and stuff. Wives have expectations.
I have to, my fucking wife.
You know, I think
never like, get married.
I think boomers, if they were introduced to anime at a like decent
they'd
time,
be really into
they'd
it.
Be really into waifus.
People who think it's funny to refer to their spouses as the old ball and chain would, I think, really vibe with this maybe on some level.
You know, you know who understands me, Kimiko. Kimiko understands me. She'd never put up with this bullshit.
I was gonna jump in on this, and I realized I don't know any female anime characters' names.
Oh, man. All right, rule number two. The lover of the wife who knows the character is fictional.
I don't know what's wilder. The fact that that's not, like, understood by the context, or the fact that it's rule number two.
I mean, it's such a visceral relationship with them that you would often think, like, you know they're not real, right? And the people are just like, yeah, she's fictional.
Why is it real? But hold on. But if I don't, it's not a waifu anymore?
At that point, it's a problem.
This is commitment at arm's length. Pick a lane.
Rule number three of sexual aspects of the relationship is an individual decision.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I don't...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Sit on that for a second.
I don't think I can, because I think I have to run it over with my waifu, it sounds like. Listen. Like, that's a healthy practice in real life, but I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't, sure, but why is it a rule?
I don't know, man.
Like, why is it a rule?
I don't write them.
I'm starting to suspect you did.
No, I did. I swear I did it.
Okay.
This is JapanPower.com speaking.
Well, if there's ever the authority.
All right. We'll go through the next three rules after the break. All right. So rule number four.
Be honest with me.
Yes.
Are they going to escalate like this? Are they going to escalate in, like, this weird, like, Moorish, like, word soup kind of way?
Okay, a little bit.
Okay.
Rule number four. The waifu's view is considered when making decisions. All right?
Okay, we'll just go past that one.
Rule number five. The waifu does not always prevent a real/3D relationship.
That sounds like a rule that's been, like, the person who's making these rules is realizing they're doing some real serious damage on the psyche of young men and are
okay.
and are trying to, like, go back on it a little bit,
okay,
right?
So
was this an amendment?
No. Now, doing research on otaku, waifu, husbandos, whatever, was really hard. Because I would look up stuff like the history of otaku or the history of waifus or whatever.
Yes.
And, like, 75% of the videos are memes.
Yeah, well...
it's people making fun of the culture, but nobody's actually talking about the culture.
Well, it's also a very self-deprecating culture. I find most people making the jokes are people who are part of it.
Yeah.
To the point that I'm now suspect from how much I'm making the jokes about
Even
it.
Even though he refused to wear his Naruto headband today.
Because it's a visual gag.
And you gotta get in the spirit,
I don't...
Huh?
Of what?
Of anime.
Oh, my God.
Of your ninja way, your nindo.
Listen, I watched half of the fourth Evangelion movie a week ago. I think I'm in the spirit.
Okay. And the last rule, the relationship with the waifu is real. Period.
That once again feels like it should be higher on the list. I would love to retool these.
Yeah.
If I given the opportunity.
Yeah.
What's the new thing that all the kids are saying? Go touch grass.
Go outside and touch some grass.
Go touch some grass.
That's so insulting.
Now I wanna oust someone on the show since they're not present.
Uh oh.
But a co-host or guest or whatever we call them, Samantha Rotunno.
Samantha.
Otherwise known as Sam. has said to me in English words, I love waifu games.
Excuse me?
She says she loves waifu games. Now, I'm with her to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm knowing her, she's taking it way too far, and it's very perverted
right.
and unhealthy.
Spending all of her money on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's deeply troubling. Mm.
Her family's worried.
It's actually why she was not on the show for so long.
Really?
She couldn't afford gas to come here because she spent every paycheck on Genshin Impact.
Oh.
Spins.
It's a great game.
It is, but it tore her life apart, and you know she went to rehab. She came back,
damn.
But
damn, Sam,
game, yeah, not to drag her, but I'm kind of with what she I think meant by it. I'm kind of with it because we were talking about the most recent Fire Emblem game, Three Houses, in which you get to court and date characters, and so you
My
have
God.
This you have this menagerie.
Wow.
Of people you could date. Yeah, it's becoming increasingly gayer too, so the options only
Hell
expand.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Good for them. Go Pride. And yeah, she was just like, I love waifu games. Huh. I was like, yeah, I kind of get that. It's like that, like Stardew Valley, like shit where
yeah.
you can like, there's you have this venue, this gallery of people you could date, and you know they're not real, but you want to do it anyways. That seems very different though.
It sets up unrealistic expectations.
Well, that's a whole other thing, Jeremy. I listen. I like to come at anime a lot.
You like to do what?
I like to come at anime.
Oh my god!
No, not like that. I like to assault it.
Oh, okay.
I also masturbate to it, but
John.
I like to attack anime a lot.
Okay.
But I don't think we can talk about it setting unrealistic expectations because I think first and foremost. Real people things, non-animated things, set up way more unrealistic expectations way sooner in people's lives than anime does.
Okay.
It's a part of it, but it's not the genesis of this problem
okay.
for us, in my opinion.
That's fair. Okay, moving on. We have the next type of otaku, the woda, or the idol pop otaku. These are people who obsess over female Japanese idols and pop singers. K-pop fans are sometimes shoved into this category.
Please don't bring up the K-pop.
Despite it being Korean, but the same rules apply.
K-pop fans are beautiful and wonderful, and they're the only good fandom.
Meh.
Please don't say that kind of stuff. Please.
Will they come for us, John?
They will drive us to suicide with words, Jeremy. Those people take this very seriously. And I don't want to earn their ire.
Oh.
I think they're lovely.
Yeah.
People.
Okay.
Very well behaved.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a, it's a, don't laugh. It's a noble thing that they do.
Wait, what? What noble?
Jeremy, keep your fucking head down.
Is there a gun to your head, John?
Proverbially. Proverbially, yes.
I'm sweating. Ooh, I'm nervous.
You should
okay,
be.
All right, I'll move on.
Yeah.
All right, next we got cosplayers. I unashamedly am a member of this community. Cosplay, which is short for costume play, are fans who dress up as their favorite costume.
That's something different.
These are fans that dress up as their favorite characters and attend anime conventions or on dates to the manga aisle at Barnes & Noble. So... Have you ever seen that?
Yeah, we've all turned a corner, man. We've all turned a corner and seen it.
Used to see Baka.
I joke, but if people just mind to themselves doing stuff to make them happy, that's great. Keep on chucking.
Yeah, keep spooning in the manga aisle.
We've all been like 14 once and didn't have a place to go.
Nobody else has come to that aisle anyways.
That's what I'm saying.
The subculture is mostly wholesome, as people tend to be very supportive of each other, but can have some weird tropes that seem to persist.
Okay.
If you're a burly man with a beard, you probably end up in a Sailor Moon cosplay at some
yes,
point in this community.
True. There's a lot of humor there.
Black cosplayers tend to get the "your cosplay isn't accurate" treatment, and some guys don't know how to act around women and occasionally risque costumes.
That's shocking.
Is it?
I'm being sarcastic, Jeremy. Are you telling me this group is rude towards black people and objectifies women? Is that what you're getting at here?
A little bit, yeah.
I'm going to be faint. I can't believe this. You know who would never do that?
Who?
K-pop fans. For they are all good, excellent, wholesome people.
Dude, I'm sorry not to believe you.
Jeremy, shut the fuck up.
Okay. Okay, moving on. We have Figure Otaku. These are fans who collect anime figurines.
Oh my god, what was Katie's question? Are we... Are we off track?
How has anime influenced culture and animation?
I feel like we're off track.
No, we're not. These are subcultures, John. Okay. This is what anime has caused.
Okay.
And by in part, the creators of Toonami, they did this to us.
Okay.
This
those,
one...
Those bastards at Turner Broadcasting.
this one could be relatively harmless until we get to the technicalities like, damn, that's hot. Wait, how old is she?
Ugh, Jesus fuck.
Which I'm sure we'll get to later. And then lastly, we have the Wappanese. This is part of the origin of the term weeb and describes Americans, typically white people, who are obsessed with multiple aspects of Japanese culture and wish to be Japanese themselves. In 19th and 20th centuries, this was commonly referred to as Japanophiles.
Okay.
Yeah. So we've heard a lot about, like, the nerdy shit, whatever.
Thomas Jefferson was kind of one of those, but for France.
Francophile?
Francophile.
Francophile.
I wonder if the Mona Lisa was his waifu.
Oh.
Maybe he didn't, but he didn't realize it wasn't actually French. It was just there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so we heard about all the nerdy stuff, such as myself, but what about the cool kids? Let's ask ourselves, what do cool kids like to do? They like to
drugs.
Look, yes, but they like to look cool. How do they do it? With fashion, John. Anime and Japanese culture in general have had a large influence on fashion, particularly in streetwear. Streetwear, which is created and popularized by the New York City hip-hop movement, you know, black people, and
we get it.
And typically includes some aspect of exclusivity or rarity, like Supreme brand. It's important to note that old school hip hop in the heyday of Run DMC began the era of commercialized rap, where artists would essentially be sponsored by brands in sort of a symbiotic relationship. Mm-hmm. The clothing companies would profit off the popularity of the artist, and the artists would not only get paid by them, but their fans now had a way to express themselves as part of their fan base by wearing that brand. Most notably, Run DMC ran on an Adidas look, which held its grip on the streetwear to this very day.
So I have an ex-girlfriend whose mother went to high school for Run DMC.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah. It's pretty neat.
Did they talk?
No.
Did they ever talk?
No, but she apparently still refers to them by their names. I don't know what their government names are, but that's how she refers to Run DMC.
Run and DMC.
Well, DMC stood for something, and Run was surely short for something.
All right, so recently, streetwear has taken an Eastern turn to feature anime characters, usually from the Golden Era, with shows like Dragon Ball Z or Naruto, and Adidas even has a whole line of shoes based on the Dragon Ball franchise, and they're cool as shit. For poor folk like me, I suffice with the shit I find a Hot Topic. All in all, anime's influence on the world is hard to quantify because it's all over the damn place, and the differences between countries besides the U.S. are mainly through what they decide to censor when it comes to adult content.
There is an age range in which anime basically ruined them all.
Yes.
Yeah. If you are a certain age, you cannot go to a mall because of anime.
For the most part, it influenced all, like, a lot of the world the same. Like, we all just, like, started buying it. Because anime is an expression of Japanese culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, to be into anime is to largely to be into Japanese culture as a whole.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, to answer your follow-up question, Katie, what's our favorite anime? I'm basic and grew up on Naruto, so that has to be my choice for my favorite anime. John, what's your favorite anime?
You know, I've debated about that for a long time in my head. I usually like the more challenging ones that usually have really sad endings.
Oh.
Such as Devilman Crybaby.
Mm-hmm.
It's very polarized.
Yes.
I quite like it. favorite scenes include the scene watching the dude weep as he tries to work up the strength to shoot his kid.
Damn.
Yeah, it was a good scene.
Oh, my God.
I also quite like Evangelion.
Evangelion's really good.
I like... I I was gonna say I like the characters. I mean, I want to murder most of them. Most of them suck shit. But I think that's the point.
Idiot Shinji.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ. It's probably though at this point. Also, the first anime I ever watched. I didn't start watching anime till college, which I'm told is.
That's weird. That's unusual.
That's what I'm told.
Yeah.
The first one I watched the whole thing of was Gurren Lagann.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, which I quite liked. Mostly its ridiculousness. It escalates in a very weird way. Probably JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
That's a solid one.
Quite like it. I like how each part of it features a different cast of characters. Mm. It's also, I mean, like, yes, it's weird. That's in the name. But most of it's from the 80s.
Right.
So it's like, not only is it weird, it feels like it's from a land that time forgot. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's whack.
Yeah.
And it's such a good way.
It's a little hard to get into. I've only watched the first couple episodes.
Well, it's so weird about it is that you have, like, I guess season one. That's not what you would call it. But
right.
Season one is unrecognizable from season three on. They mm-hmm. even actually ditch. Because, you know, most anime have, like, a, like, oh, I summon a spirit of my grandpa, and then I can shoot lasers, right?
They
have some sort of power system.
Yeah.
They fucking ditch one.
Oh.
They have a power season for two seasons, and then say fuck off, and they never acknowledge it ever again. They get a completely new one.
Okay.
That they've had ever since.
Hmm.
So, also, the dude who makes it is, like, 61, I think.
Oh, wow.
And he's been making the manga for, like, 40 years
Holy
now,
shit.
Nonstop. Which, I mean, that's not unheard of.
Yeah, but it's still a long time.
It's, like, just him, too, as far as I know.
My God.
He, like, writes and draws the whole thing.
Oh, so it just takes a while. It
takes a long time. I think part 8 took 10 years.
Damn.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, so.
Well, is it worse than One Piece?
In what way?
Because, like,
I'm not a big One Piece fan.
Neither am I. And look, I'm sure,
you know,
One
you
Piece.
You know who is.
Who?
Known gambling pervert Samantha Rotano.
Oh, my
She's
God.
Tried to get me into it.
Look, One Piece fans, I'm talking to you directly. I'm sure One Piece is a great anime.
Fuck me, though. Over 1,000 episodes?
Look.
What could it be about?
Look,
what could it be about?
I watched a breakdown. It was like, if I did nothing but watch One Piece, like, just every waking moment is One Piece, not even sleeping.
Yeah.
It would still take me, like, fucking 11 days.
I can't figure out what, like, people keep, I always ask, and people are like, it's about freedom and the ocean and friends. And I'm like, for 1,000 episodes?
Go to the beach in America,
like,
with
JoJo's
your friends.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure is very long.
Yes.
I think at this point it's at, like, 200 or something episodes.
That's reasonable.
It's not. I can't in good faith tell a human to watch 200
okay,
episodes of something.
Okay, okay.
But each season is a self-contained story that sometimes has bleed over.
Okay.
But you could theoretically watch it out of order and be good.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
That's reasonable to me because the story resets and tells a new one. 1,000 episodes?
When will he ever
find
the One Piece?
Can he still not swim? Like, what?
Does he ever learn?
What plot threads get dropped?
It's too long.
It's too damn long.
That's,
man.
And people, for me especially, when it comes to starting a new show, I'm afraid of commitment. I don't want to commit to a show and not finish it.
All of Jeremy's waifus have left him.
Yes. And we're not going to talk about that. But with One Piece, like, I don't want to commit to it and then drop off at, like, episode 300.
Sure. Now, Naruto is also exceedingly long.
Naruto is long, mainly because it's filler. One Piece fans claim that One Piece doesn't have any filler. I find that hard to believe.
It has filler.
Naruto has a shit ton of filler.
Yeah.
Which is a problem.
How many episodes is it?
Including Naruto and Shippuden?
I.
All right, so there's Naruto, the first one. And okay. Shippuden's, like, the age up, like, rest of the story.
You're right, Jeremy. This is boring. It's a lot, though, right?
It's... Yes.
Okay.
I'm willing to bet, like, around, like, 400 episodes.
Whew.
Yeah.
Give it.
Yeah, but without filler, I want to say it's closer to, like, 200 or 300.
That's...
It's still a lot.
That's embarrassing.
But I think Naruto, when it comes to, like, their actual serialized episodes, is very well-paced and great stuff. But anyways, that one's my favorite.
Okay.
Yeah. John, I asked you to dive more into what anime is about with the tropes and everything.
Okay.
And I'm a little afraid, not going to lie, but...
Why?
Because after this episode, I don't want to be like, man, I can't watch anime anymore. But
okay.
I asked John to get me a list of his best and worst anime tropes.
I think he said favorite, least favorite.
Favorite, least favorite, yeah.
Okay.
So, John, why don't you share that with us?
All right, best, I like tournament arcs.
Good, 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 good.
I think they give good character tension. It allows you to compare people very one-to-one, mm-hmm. which is good for people because I don't think people know how to do cross-character analysis. and I like power systems. Like, you know, anything with action usually have some sense of this person stronger than that person. But anime does, I think, a good job of contextualizing, like, there is an in this world exists a measure of people's strength.
Do you have an example of a bad power system and a good power system between different shows?
Not really, to be quite fair. Oh, yeah, actually, I do. I will, like, I think it's the grandfather of it, but I think the Dragon Ball Z, or just Dragon Ball General, I think that one's bad because
I think it's bad too.
It loses all meaning eventually, and the numbers don't mean anything. You have the over 9,000 meme, but as far as I know, the character's power levels start getting up into, like, the millions, and eventually
God level.
Yeah, eventually can't be registered or something.
Right.
It doesn't mean anything anymore. I think a good one, quite frankly, is One Punch Man.
Okay.
Which has the if you are a hero, you get classified and you get a number rank. So, like, S is the best.
Yeah.
C is the worst.
Right.
And then you get a standing number. So if you're, like, A rank 5, then you are the 5th strongest hero in the A division.
Okay.
So it's like you immediately know where this person's at, right? It's you know instantaneously where this person sits on that scale.
Gotcha.
Right. Yeah, where some of them just don't mean anything eventually, right? My Hero Academia has something similar.
My Hero has, like, just a general ranking system. It's numbered. So, like, there's, like, number 1 hero, number 2, whatever, just in terms of strength. And it's
pretty loose, though, because
it is loose.
There's nothing, like, One Punch Man has, like, it doesn't go too into it, but there are things you can do to raise your ranking.
Right.
Like, the characters will get letters that are, like, because you did this, you have been raised to this rank.
Right.
And you have to, like, pass tests, I think, to, like, get into the next letter bracket.
With My Hero, All Might starts out as number 1.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, why is he number 1? Oh, he's the strongest.
He's the strongest. It doesn't mean anything. He's the best.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, how? How are we measuring this?
Well, he does the best. But yes, but, like, yes, and according to who?
Right.
The worst, boy, I had to shrink the list.
For tropes?
Yes, for bad tropes.
No, let that list go.
Well, I just don't think it's that interesting, to be quite frank. But, like, I think the problem is that bad anime tropes, I think, are damaging.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly the one that gets me is what I would say is a fucking playful amount of sexual assault and harassment.
Playful is the right term, yes.
Playful, because that's how it's portrayed.
Yeah.
It's very playful, right? Like, a character will grope a woman, and she's like, stop it, idiot. And it's like, that's a sex crime.
Yes.
He's not a rascal.
he's a
sex criminal.
Yes.
That's fucked up,
That's
man.
Bad. That's bad.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I also don't like this over-sexualization of very young women.
Yes.
In fact, watching these Evangelion films, one of the things that I have a hard time coming to terms with is the amount of clearly, like, not okay, like, young, I think young characters, so I'm talking about, like, high school age characters,
which is the most popular age group
sure.
in anime. Yeah,
I don't think there's anything inherently wrong of having them nude in film.
Okay.
Right. People are just nude. I don't think nudity is inherently a sexual state of being.
It's not inherently pornographic.
No,
yeah.
People are just nude. I don't think you should just show naked kids.
Right.
Right? There's a way it needs to be for something.
Right.
Constructive. It can't just be, right, for the sake of it. But, like, there's angles and shots and decisions that are so clearly sexual.
Yeah.
That it's so bizarre. And it's just, like, so weird. And, like, I'm not sure what the age of consent is in Japan.
I think it's 16.
I know it's lower.
Yeah.
But it's not here.
Actually, no. I think it's, like, 13.
I remember it being pretty low.
look it up real quick.
And you can make a lot of arguments to that. You can't measure culture, so I feel bad. I don't feel bad. I don't feel like I can say
it is 13.
It is 13. Yeah. Wonderful. I don't think you can say a culture is bad, right?
Right.
But I think it's fair to say that the age of consent to Japan is way too low, because there's no way a 13-year-old can properly consent.
With their brain.
With their brain. Yeah. There's no way they could properly consent with an adult.
Right.
Right? So I don't love that. Really not crazy about right. that. It really is stuff like that. There's also a weird thing of, like, characters that, I mean, some of it's straight up pedophilic, right?
Yeah.
And you could give it a new name, like Lolly or something.
Yeah.
But it, sometimes they try to disguise it where it's like, I'm an ancient dragon.
Taking the form of a small girl.
Taking the form of an 8-year-old girl. That's fine. You know, it's, you know, and I've heard people make that argument. And even, like I talked about earlier, Fire Emblem kind of has one of those.
Oh boy.
There's like, I think her name is Tifi. I can't remember her name. Mm-hmm. She's built very prepubescent. She's like, I'm a 1,000-year-old dragon.
Great.
I'm not into that. No, nope. I'll be honest. And I would be willing to give it more leniency if I felt like the genre and human beings in general did a better job of depicting women.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people who talk about anime girls in, like, a very, like, awuga, like, you know? And we know it's not the age of consent right. here, right?
Right.
I'm not crazy into that.
Okay.
I think those are the worst, because those are the most damaging, can actually negatively impact people's behaviors.
Yeah. I did not notice that problem until, like, became of age.
Well, see, that's the benefit of coming into anime late.
Yeah.
You have a little more perspective. I actually have another one I really don't like. Uh-huh. I hate when characters say out loud, so this is the power of, and then X. It's in every fucking show. Some of it's funny, because I know some of it's taking the piss, yeah. right? Yeah. But a lot of times it's earnest, and I'm just like, fuck me, how can we keep saying that?
It's like the phrase, you and I aren't that different.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. And just, like, the general, like, repetitiousness of it.
Yeah.
Like, the shit that I get. It, like, anime has two modes. You have, okay. like, this Evangelion, like Judeo-Christian, like, gobbledygook that yeah. I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's happening. Or some dude explains simple plot points back to me every episode. And I'm like, I get it. If he doesn't get the antidote, he dies.
It's very expositional. I also like when villains like describe their abilities to the protagonist.
That's very good.
Yeah.
That's very good. That's something that JoJo's Bizarre Adventure usually doesn't fall victim to.
My hero does that.
I bet.
Constantly.
Well, how else can the hero figure out how to beat him?
Well, no, sometimes it's just like the narrator. That does it. Like, this one has the power to.
That's a little different. That's a little better. That's a little better. But when the villain is like, it's like, oh, you can't beat me. I throw daggers, and each dagger is forged in a volcano.
But I can only make 12 in 1 hour.
I can only make 12 in 1 hour.
Don't use that against me.
And every time we change locations, I get it from a new volcano. So it's kind of like a refresh based on geography. We're in Hawaii right now, which means there's several volcanoes. Oh, so he's stronger, so I'm stronger. And I just want to make sure you know.
How would we beat him?
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Well, I think that suffices, Katie. Katie, I think we did it.
It's very self-congratulatory.
It is. It is, and I'm standing by it.
Okay.
But there you go, Katie. I know that wasn't the answer you were looking for. But this is Boys on the Case. We rarely meet expectations.
My favorite, I don't even know what to call these, but the ones where your question, your answers just kind of end and you're like, and I've done it.
We've made it.
My favorite one you did was the question, like, why don't we have holes in us? And you completely misunderstood the whole.
I did not misunderstand. You did. I took a different route.
No, you. That's not how this works. That's not. You can't like monkey's paw this shit. It's. You can't be like, oh, you didn't. You didn't wish the genie wish right, oh. And now I turned you into a frog. Like, yeah, that's not how this fucking works, Jeremy. That's bad faith podcasting.
bad faith podcasting. Uh-huh. No.
Okay.
But that's what I got. And you got to be happy with it, Katie. Because I am.
At least we're wrapping up.
At least we're wrapping up.
At least the show's ending.
Anyways, thank you for the great question, Katie. If you got a question for the boys, you can send it to us at boysonthecase@gmail.com. Or you can be a good boy and go to our splash page at anchor.fm/boysonthecase and send us a voice message there, because then it could end up on the podcast, and that'd be really pretty cool. I'd like to give a big shout out and thank you to my friend Maria, who read today's intro in Japanese, in case you guys didn't catch that. She's wonderful. She's great. Thank you, Maria.
You are so belittling.
What?
It's in Japanese, in case you didn't catch that.
Well, I don't know. Like, they probably opened up the episode and started hearing Japanese. They were like, what's happening? And they didn't know what it was.
But they know it's Japanese, though.
Well, they didn't know it was the disclaimer if okay. They don't speak Japanese.
Well, then we failed, then.
We failed?
If they don't know, if they hear it and they're confused, we failed in our joke.
Well, maybe it was just a really long joke. Now, here's the punchline.
Mary, I'm sorry to drag you down on this.
Maria.
Maria. I'm so sorry. Normally, it's read by the very kissable Jason Faust.
Oh, but yeah. That's it for this week. We'll see you next week with some a question. Hopefully.
We're really keep lowering that bar. Next week, there'll be a question, and we're going to answer it.
Yep.
No more, yeah. No less.
All right, we'll see y'all next week.